it was a season of light, it was a season of darkness, it was a spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. When you're
there we go. When you're talking about the greatest first lines ever, this is certainly one of the top contenders, this line from A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. It's often known, even if you've never read the rest of the book. And it's a great line. And I think one of the reasons that it tops all lists, almost all lists of great first lines ever, is because it is a first line that could be used for any good drama. It says so much. And I think it could have been a great first line for the book of Acts, actually. In some ways, I think it could have been a far better first line than the one that we have, which is, "Theopolis, the first scroll I wrote concerned everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning right up to the day when he was taken up to heaven. Before he was taken up, working in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus instructed the apostles he had chosen." I mean, it's fine. It gives basic information, but imagine if Luke had gone with, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, nabbed that before Charles Dickens ever had a chance at it. Would have fit well. Or even just the passage that Gray read for us today would have started out great if you would have thrown in, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times right before those other verses. Now, it may be that we think that Luke's first line to the book of Acts is a little dry, but I don't think we could say that about the passage we read today. This section of Acts, these last chapters of Acts, are often considered by literary scholars as some of the best writing in the whole Bible, especially the unit framed in chapters 27 and 28, which tells the full story of Paul, who has been arrested for preaching the gospel and is now being taken to Rome to stand trial there. And it's very exciting, this whole voyage, and the shipwreck that we read about today is just part of that. And so this section is gripping for several reasons. One is it is the best of times and the worst of times for Paul. On the one hand, he is headed to Rome to stand trial. On the other hand, he's headed to Rome to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's also interesting because the narrator speaks in first person here, using the term we, leading many to believe that Luke was along on this voyage. Now, one of the things the first line of Acts does tell us is that it does invite us to recognize that Luke and Acts are a two-volume work. They're really one work set in two books, two scrolls. And in the early chapters of Luke, sort of shortly after the birth narratives and the genealogy that sort of is the introduction, in some ways, you could say Luke begins after the prologue, after this introduction, begins with Jesus as an adult going to his home synagogue. And he's given the scroll there to preach from. And he takes the scroll of Isaiah and he reads this passage. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, the recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he goes on to explain that he is the fulfillment of this. And in many ways, one could argue that the rest of the book of Luke and the rest of the book of Acts are all the manifestation of Jesus doing that work that he has come to do. It is the work of the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is what we see in his life. This is, ironically, what we see in his death and especially his resurrection. And it is what we see in the book of Acts as people then try and take this good news, this proclamation of release to the captive and sight to the blind and good news to the poor and liberation to the oppressed, as they take that out into the world as Jesus has taught them to do. And we see it in this story for today. We see Paul doing just that. It's an interesting tale. So Paul, and it really begins before the passage today. So Paul is, as I said, has been arrested, and he and these captives are being taken to Rome. But because of bad weather and bad choices by the captors, they end up in this storm-vexed sea, and they are run aground onto this island. And once again, we find Paul having his life upended, his circumstances upended. I mean, they were upended when he was arrested, certainly. But he certainly didn't expect to almost die on a ship. He certainly didn't expect to end up in some out-of-the-way place. And although he does proclaim good news, the good news of Jesus Christ there, it's a little awkward. There's no synagogue for him to go and preach at. There's not even a court in Rome for him to defend his case. It's some out-of-the-way place. He doesn't know whether he will be greeted in friendship or killed, either by the residents of the island or by his captors, some of whom want that to happen. He doesn't know if he'll survive the night. And what he does as a weary seafarer, wet and worn, is very interesting. I mean, he could have just sat down by the fire and tried to get warm. He could have waited to see what his captors would give him permission to do or not to do on the island. He could have just prayed. But what does he do? He gathers sticks. He joins in the hospitality that the islanders are showing to them, and he goes and he gathers sticks and he helps in the service of stoking the fire. He keeps the fire going so that not only he can be warm, but his shipmates can be warm, and he joins in with his captors. And it is because of his act of service that he is noticed, he is appreciated, and he is invited in to new opportunities to share the good news of Christ. It is because of this simple act, and then the snake, that people pay attention. And it's not because he's trying to draw attention to himself. He's actually being pretty humble here in this situation. He's just stoking the fire, keeping it going, helping people stay warm after a rough night, even though he may not live through the night himself. That doesn't really matter. The good news is the good news to be spread, whether or not we will die today or far off in the future. Whether or not persecution will come, or whether or not we will continue to live in relative ease. Our circumstances do not matter. Yes, there are times that our circumstances are upended. Our life is thrown off course. We are shipwrecked in places we do not want to be. There are times when we wish that our plans had stayed just the way we intended. And we can find ourselves harumphing about what could have been or what should have been. Or we can find ourselves worrying about what will be or what could be. And those are understandable. Sometimes reflecting on the past and naming our grief, our frustration, is exactly what we need to do in the moment. And sometimes looking toward the future and making plans is what we need to be. But the problem with both of those is that they often turn into resentment, looking back, or worry, looking forward. And they keep us from throwing down our anchor right where we are and being present to those that we could serve in this moment. They often keep us from looking around us and seeing whose sight needs to be restored, who needs liberation, who needs a simple act of kindness. Paul didn't forget. Because Paul was in touch in this moment with the Holy Spirit. And that's really what the book of Acts is about. It is not the story of Paul. It is the story of the work of the Holy Spirit. It may be a little odd that I began talking about this sermon, talking about beginnings. Because this is a final sermon in our series on the book of Acts. And we are essentially at the end of the book. There's a few more verses, and feel free to read that whole 27, 28 passage from Acts. It's a good read. But we today come to the end of our series on this book. And I think endings are just as interesting as beginnings. In fact, I'm a huge fan of endings. I find them psychologically fascinating to see what the author will do with characters that they and we have accepted as these enduring folks. It's true in books, it's true in television shows too. In fact, I have been known to watch the last show of a popular series that I've never watched before just because I'm so intrigued by how they end things. And I have my favorites. We can talk about that later. But endings are what we come to today. And one of the things that endings, a good ending, has the power to do is to solidify what the book or the show or the movie was really about. And I think Luke does that for us in Acts, although it's in a surprising way. These chapters, 27, 28, they take us building up to Paul will go to Rome and he will be tried there. And yet, Luke doesn't cover that. The book of Acts ends this way. I gave you the beginning. Here's the end. Paul lived on his own rented quarters for 2 full years and welcomed everyone who came to see him. Unhindered and with complete confidence, he continued to preach God's kingdom and to teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. He made it to Rome. And then what? We don't actually know. Different Christian traditions have different endings for Paul. Some believe that he was killed in Rome by Nero. Others believe that he went on to Spain and continued to preach the good news there. We don't really know. And Luke doesn't tell us. The truth is that endings can sometimes be much more unsettling. They either wrap things up too easily or they leave things too open. Well, Luke kind of leaves things open. definitely doesn't wrap them up. But I think it is by design. You see, the book of Luke begins in this far-off little village, and it culminates in Jesus traveling to Jerusalem, the epicenter of Jewish religious power. And he there has to confront the religious authorities. And Acts then begins in Jerusalem, and it goes to the epicenter of the Roman Empire, to Rome, where Paul is asked to defend this good news of Christ that has been foretold all the way back in the prophets. There is a pattern happening here, but the pattern does not end with Paul. You see, by leaving it open, Luke says very explicitly, this is not a book about Paul or Peter or anyone. This is a book about the progression of the good news of God, moving forward, moving beyond, growing greater in the world, inviting you also in as an apostle, no matter your circumstances, whether you are shipwrecked, whether you are persecuted, whether you are stuck in house arrest, there is a place for you to proclaim the good news of Christ. We are all called, even today, to this original proclamation, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, to the recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And sometimes all that asks of us is to look around us and simply help stoke the fire.